We're going to read now from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let's just pray before we invite Kevin up to open this up to us. Lord, at the beginning of this service, we opened up our hands to you. We want to open them up again. We want to open our hearts to you and our ears. So would you do that, Lord? We absolutely want to hear the word of life that you have for us today. Thank you that you are the one who can speak just the right word to each one here, because you know all of our circumstances. So we all, Lord, individually invite you in to our hearts today. Come where you want, Lord. Knock on any door you wish. And we pray, Lord, for Kevin. We thank you that you've brought him safely here. We thank you for the gift that you've given him. And we pray now for him, Lord, as he comes up, that you would anoint him, empower him, and equip him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I haven't switched on, have I?
Old habits die hard.
Just make me feel at home, why don't you? Well, it's really lovely to be here. Dawn's very sorry she couldn't come, but her daughter, who's a single mum, has had to be referred urgently to a cancer clinic, and that's where they are today. So, it is 12 years and 27 days, 26 days since I retired from here as minister. But 12 years means there's a difference here, and there's a difference here. I might not be as you remember me, apart from slightly physical appearance. Imagine yourself here on the evening of the 2nd of September 2012. That was around 6 months before I retired as minister. And I wonder what you can, if anyone can remember what I preached on. It was the Lord's Prayer from Matthew's Gospel. Were you even here? Anyways, I didn't realize this was the first in your series on prayer. Well, I'm glad it is in a way, because I'm not going to do what I was asked to do. Not quite, shall we say. And I won't specifically be unpacking the Lord's Prayer in this passage, but it will underpin what I say. I'm going to ask you in a few moments to use your imagination again. I was really thankful that Susan spoke about being still and receiving the Lord, because I got a whole two paragraphs here that I was going to say about that. Now I don't have to say it, do I? What I've found in recent years, even more so in recent months, is the real need to be still. And most of us don't have a lot of stillness in our lives. Be still and know that He's God. It's not a telling off, it's an invitation. Just be still, still yourself. Then you'll know yourself utterly loved, if you come close to Him in that stillness. So many things try to drown it out. But prayer is about being in the stillness of God, isn't it? It really is. And it's not about saying a lot of words, necessarily. It's about being with God, knowing yourself in His presence. So that's two paragraphs in two sentences. As we read that passage there, it talks about hypocrites. Those kind of showing off, as it were, to be honoured by others. Actually, I haven't done my first slide, have I? I can move on now. It's the trouble with PowerPoints, isn't it? They govern you. Don't very often use them. Showing off to be honoured by others. It's very much the modern thing, isn't it, to be seeking fame and celebrity, to make ourselves the centre of everything. We saw it very much when we went to Santorini last year on holiday, and it's one of the famous things it's famous for is the sunsets over the ocean. And so everybody crowds at the time, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people up these narrow streets looking out over the bay. Well, it's a crater really of a volcano. Looking out over that, and the sun's going down. And what are all those people doing? They're not looking at that, they're doing this. Well, they missed it. They only got themselves. And I think that's kind of making ourselves the centre of everything. For those who remember me preaching here when I was minister, I'm fooling you. I use a larger font on my paper now, so it won't be four pages that I turn over. Barry Canning. Well, I'm a bit of a recluse and at times a loner, and I find that whole culture of selfieism a bit repulsive, actually. Putting myself at the centre of everything, it's not what we should do. It's not what prayer is about. But sadly, it does find its way into the church. There are those who love to be seen at the centre of things, probably looking for the approval of others and some kind of status. Well, being a Christian isn't about those things. It's about humility and serving God. One of the ways I've come to love looking at Scripture is to imagine myself in the narrative itself, seeing myself there while they're doing that stuff, whatever they're doing in that passage. Like being here in the crowd as Jesus speaks. Perhaps you could just try to do that for yourselves. Just imagine yourselves in that situation. What do you hear? What are the sights and sounds and even smells around you? Smells can be very evocative. Who is he talking to? Well, he's talking about hypocrites. That's not me, surely, is it? Just listen as he talks, if you can imagine that passage in your mind and you being there. And as I listen, as I was listening a few days ago, I began to see that in some ways, oh, yes, I am a hypocrite. Holding forth on a Sunday morning, for example, telling others what they should be doing or not doing, telling people what to believe, and doing something completely different in private. I wonder if any of us can see ourselves in that way too, as he looks at us with those eyes of love. What's he drawing out? What's he reminding us about? It's actually what I've called the in private bit that's the most important. It's how we relate to God there that has a direct impact on how we relate to everyone else. Indeed, as we get to know his heart and voice there, we're more likely to recognize and respond to that in busy or challenging situations too. And this touches on what Jesus said there. Go, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Go into your room. That's go into a prayer space, a place that you set aside for that purpose. And then when you're there, perhaps like me, you don't always have the words to express how you feel. You don't always have the words to say what you want to say in prayer. And there's some of us have a tendency to wrap it on when we're praying. I don't know whether that's you or not. I haven't been here for a long time in a service, so I don't know. We wrap it on thinking God will listen because we speak a lot. Not so, said Jesus. Do not keep babbling. That's for brooks, isn't it? Babbling brooks, not people. Actually, there is a point to that. Using many words may actually cover up what we really need. We may be using it as some kind of defense mechanism so that God doesn't get too close and really deal with what's going on inside us. I find that. We speak a lot because we don't want to listen. And I think that's important to recognize that in ourselves. Anyway, you can't fool him because Jesus said this, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We may fool ourselves, but there's no fooling him at all. And often there's no fooling the people around us. They see through us if we keep on babbling. And then it gives us this model of prayer. And I'm not going into that in detail. I know that you're going to be looking at it from Luke's Gospel later in the series. What I will say is that it encourages us to express worship, recognizing who God is, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. We've been doing that already. We've been recognizing who he is. Susan reminded us of his supremacy, that everything is in his hands. Everything is by him and for him. We need to recognize who he is in our worship, in our daily lives. And the second thing I notice that it seeks to do is to align ourselves with God's plans. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't always know what's going to happen next. I didn't know that my wife was going to be going to hospital this morning with her daughter. We don't know what the outcome of that will be, but we have to trust God. We have to, he hasn't made it happen, as it were, but it's happened, and we trust him for his plans for the way forward, for things like that even. And it's coming to him in that quiet time where we can understand what his ways are, what his thoughts are about our future. It's happened to me a number of times, even maybe 9 months before I left here. I went off quietly into the wilderness somewhere just to hear what God was saying, if he was saying anything at all. And I was really worried about what was going to happen to me next. And he said, as I was wandering in trees and across a moor, not a moor, a heath, he said, "Doesn't matter where you go as long as you're my person there." I heard that very distinctly. And I thought, that's a lot of pressure taken off me. Doesn't matter. I don't have to organize something. It'll happen. In the quietness, God speaks and shows us his plans for us. And the prayer helps us to express our needs. Give us today our daily bread. All sorts of needs we have, don't we? Physical. I'm in about 10 days going for a small procedure on my face. It's not beautiful enough. No, I have a little, what's it, basal cell carcinoma. It's been cancelled twice, so I don't know what God's plans were about that, but I know the right people, so it's getting on the list again. It's part of my needs to be dealt with. We all have needs. Our food, our accommodation, what's going on in here spiritually. He can meet those needs, and he does, if we let him. And it helps us to express our need of forgiveness and the desire to forgive others. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Oftentimes, I've had people say to me, "Well, I can't forgive that." Ooh. That might be a bit dangerous. You might not be able to live in the light of his forgiveness if you're holding on to stuff. And the prayer encourages us to look at our weakness and look for his strength and guidance to keep us on the proverbial straight and narrow. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, take your minds back. There you are in the crowd, listening. Let's take a moment to take in our surroundings again. The buzz amongst those around us. Perhaps there's jostling as people try to get nearer to Jesus. Are the distractions there making it difficult to hear what he's actually saying? Could there be distractions in our own minds and hearts to muddy the waters, as it were, of what he wants to say to us? Listen to the conversations around you as you're in that crowd. What did he just say? What does he mean by forgiveness? Aren't we forgiven if we ask? What's that about other people? As I said, can we live in the light of being forgiven? Can we really live in that newness of life that he offers if we still harbour bitterness and resentment towards others? Just questions. I can't give you the answers for yourself. And as you are listening to that passage, run over it in your mind again a little bit. Is there something that Jesus said that took your attention? Maybe just one word or a phrase in that. Let's just be still for a moment and see if something pops into your head. Keep a hold of it. Ponder on it. See where God leads you with it. Well, you may be thinking, if you're in that crowd, this is all very well. If you're like me, you think, well, I'm not very good at praying. And I really mean that. I'm not very good at praying. I'm not very good at knowing when I've received an answer to prayer. Thankfully, there are many things that can help us in that way. One of the things I haven't put in my notes, but I do quite regularly, is journaling. Writing down what I think God has said that day and then seeing where that goes. There are many things that can help. You already heard this morning of Lectio 365. Sometimes I use that, and possibly I use Pray As You Go, which is, don't tell anyone, but it's Catholic based. But it's very helpful. It's very helpful. They have daily prayer prompts and short meditations. I've come across other things. I've been doing a course from September to the end of March in spiritual direction. I believe that's where God is leading me to go, to be available to journey with others in their journey. And I've come across other things that are helpful for prayer in that course. Perhaps the first thing is to say that we need to recognize, not just rush off into words, but recognize where we are. We need to recognize that we are, that there's a loving God there. Loves us beyond what words I can express. And we're in his presence. Some may light a candle to show that. There is the light of Christ that just reminds us. It isn't the light of Christ, it's a reminder of the light of Christ. Interestingly, one of the ladies who was in my prayer group on that course is a Catholic. And we come at things from completely different perspectives. But being open to those differences can be a learning experience. Though I haven't used it, I've got it in my bag down there, still in the packet. One week she gave us a rosary. So people find those helpful. The only thing I found helpful was the accompanying leaflet, which has helpful prayer prompts. I don't know how I could sit and do that with those beads. It's not me, but it's her. I made everyone in the group, there were five others, a small tea light holder marked with a cross, made of some really special wood, and gave that to those. And some of them were overcome with emotion that I should think to do that. No, I'm not there yet, sorry. I have a little example of that in my bag too, this little tea light candle. For people to put in their prayer space. And that's something we've already touched on. Jesus said, go into your room. Go into a place where you can be by yourself with me. I always remember, I may have said this many years ago, it was when I was in farming, and I was a bit late up one morning, so I didn't sit at the kitchen table and have my prayer time. And the next day, it was as if a voice said to me, "Where were you yesterday? I was waiting for you." And he always is. He's always waiting for us to be deliberate in coming into his presence. Set aside somewhere. Maybe you need to change it occasionally because it gets too familiar. And I wonder if you've ever thought of praying with poetry. I hadn't, and it isn't my natural thing to go to. But listen to this from some of the notes that I've read. Poetry offers words and imagery that can pierce our defences, name inner experience, resonate with inner knowing, bringing a lump to the throat or a sense of joy, or lead to a flash of recognition, sometimes without us understanding why or what has been touched. Actually, after that session, I went and wrote a poem. I haven't brought it with me because it's not good enough for you holy people. And then there's praying with the imagination. Perhaps some of us might think that's a bit dodgy. Imagining stuff. Fantasizing, perhaps. But remember who created us and gave us imagination. Here's something I read a couple of days ago. The imagination has been called the bridge between heart and mind. In prayer, it can balance a tendency to focus on the rational mind, tapping into colour, feelings, images and memories through which God can work in our hearts. I tried it once, well, more than once. And as I was pondering with my imagination about where I was, I saw a crossroads. Very definitely a crossroads. And there's me. I wish I was as thin as that. With a question mark on my head, wondering which way to go. And in a sense, it doesn't, referring back to what I said a little while ago, doesn't matter which one of those I take as long as I'm God's person there. But after that session, at the beginning of the next one, I was sharing about this. We all have to share what's been going on. And one lady said, "Is there a bench at your crossroads?" I said, "No, but I think there should be." I didn't draw it because I'm standing up. The implication being that it's okay to sit and ponder, to take a breather, to rest. Watch the world go by until God shows you which of those roads to take. And that is another thing I've found more recently, perhaps it's age, I don't know. I find that my faith journey is more about being someone than doing something. Not that I'm not doing things, but the doing actually comes out of the being rather than out of a church activity or program, as some churches run those things thinking that they'd automatically make disciples that way. No, it's being in God's presence and listening to others in God's presence too. One thing that I find touches more deeply than I had ever imagined is music. That can prompt prayer and feed the soul. Just have a listen to this for a bit. It goes on for 7 minutes, but I'll cut it short. I think often we make prayer too much about words and shopping lists. I see more and more that it is about responding to and in the presence of God. And words are not always necessary. It may not do it for you, a piece of music like that, but that piece of music always moves me. I immediately think of God's creativity, speaking out creation, and then how he is working in me to bring transformation. How he is creating a new me, as it were. If you want to know, that is called Benedictus by somebody called Carl Jenkins, and those two guys are called the two cellos. Quite obviously that's what they're doing, celloing, if there's such a word. As I was preparing, it came to mind that Jesus almost always used... Oh, dear me, that I've gone ahead too far. That's it. Used what he saw and knew from the everyday around him. In his parables, it's obvious. People could latch on to familiar things and see a new meaning. It would speak to something within themselves. And whilst not specifically about prayer, I believe that the same kind of principles apply. God can use what is around us, our circumstances, those we meet, to speak into our lives, to feed our souls, if we're open to that. But it all begins, as I said earlier, in the private bit with him, the going to our room to spend time with him. Jesus did it, but not necessarily in a room. You'll know this passage. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Some of my most vivid encounters with the Lord have been out by myself in the countryside. I've told you one. I'm not going to go into any others because of time. As I was preparing, another question came to mind. Have you already arrived, or are you still a pilgrim? Do you think that you are where you should be with Jesus, in other words? Or is there more to learn and experience? There is for me, and I was pleased to have recommended a little book called The Way of the Pilgrim. It's written by some person unknown to us, or anybody, I think, an unknown 19th century Russian peasant, and tells of his constant wrestling with the problem of how to pray without ceasing, because that's what we're asked to do. And the write-up in the book says this: through his journeys and travels and under the tutelage of a spiritual father, he becomes gradually more open to the promptings of God. The reader is enriched as he shares these religious experiences in a most humble, simple, and beautiful narrative. I question the word religious there, but it is humble and simple and beautiful. And I've kind of enjoyed reading it, although the circumstances are very different. I'm not a 19th century peasant in Russia. But he encounters all sorts of people from whom he learns and who learn from him. And it's a book I could recommend. So I've been enriched and helped along the road by this and other, what you might call newish, but they're really old ways. They're new ways of looking at things for me. All encouraging that inner journey with the Lord himself and the desire to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. You'll know this well. We all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This verse emphasizes that as we gaze upon the glory of Christ, we are progressively being changed to reflect his likeness, a transformation that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. I told you that I wrote a poem. It didn't rhyme or anything, so I'm not sure if that's a poem, but to me it felt like one. And it was, as I joined the disciples with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I, wow. Yeah, I would have been like Peter. Let's build something to remember this. And then I thought, no. And then darkness came. And a voice came out of the darkness. This is my son. Listen to him. And I realized that the darkness in me is overcome by the light of that transfiguration, that transformation. And Jesus walks with me as the light to overcome my darkness. And that was the gist of the poem. Desire to walk with Jesus in the light. For the pilgrim in the book, it all revolves around a simple prayer, which he repeated over and again until it became part of him. You may say that your life is too hectic for that, but I would say give it a go. I have, and when there are distractions or challenges, it has refocused me on the Lord who loves me in a way that is beyond my understanding. It happened last night when we went to bed. We live in a semi-detached house and the walls are a bit thin. And there are two lads next door and they were shouting and swearing until quite late. And we could hear it. And I wanted to go to sleep and so did Dawn because of we both had a big day today. And so this is what I said. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. That is so simple. And as I heard somebody say once, it carries with it the whole gospel, really. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. So I leave you with that as a little prompt to try. I hope this has been helpful in seeing that prayer is about encountering God's presence, as I believe Jesus wanted us to see that. Those encounters may be in reciting prayers or through other experiences, as I've tried to show. If you think maybe that I've lost a few marbles since retiring, let me reassure you that I believe that what I believe and proclaim is pretty much the same. It's just that I come at it from a different direction sometimes. It's just that I've come to see that God is, as we were reminded at the beginning, so much bigger and more mysterious than I once imagined. And as I've tried to say, not everything is about words or even rituals. It's about getting ourselves into the presence of God in whatever way helps us to do that. So why not open yourself to the different ways that God might want to touch your life, help you to grow in your inner life, and lead you in your journey of faith. Only you can do that. Nobody can do that for you. A moment of prayer, silence, and a moment of prayer. Father, I have no idea what's going on in other people. Barely have even an idea of what's going on in me sometimes. But you know. You not know what each of us needs to lead us on in that journey with you, to lead us to know your love more fully, and to trust you more completely. Pray for my brothers and sisters here that they will know that touch of your Holy Spirit as they open themselves to you in whatever way helps them to come into your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.